From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's the man behind the radio network, the genius behind the plan. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on The Journey is with Jim Watkins, the General Manager of WHUR and the Howard University Radio Network. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you were born in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes,
why don't you tell us a little bit about your upbringing?
Well, let's see. Born in 1951, Richmond, Virginia. My parents, my mother's a school teacher. My father was a postal worker. And my dad used to sell television sets door-to-door. That was kind of my introduction to communications. I am the oldest of four kids, and we had a really good family life. My parents were the type that they told us we could be anything that we wanted to be, and they allowed us to explore our talents, and they were extremely supportive.
So it seems like at a very early age, you got involved in looking at broadcasting. What was the spark outside of your dad selling television sets? How did you first get involved at the age of 14?
I decided I wanted to get involved with communications when I was 10. And I think what it was that we had gone to a state fair or something like that, and I saw my first broadcast remote. And it was a whole radio station in a trailer. And the station was WRVA, which was the big radio station in town. And I just really, really liked that, and I just kind of gravitated to it. It took me a couple of years to find out all I could about radio. So what I did, I spent a lot of time going to all the local radio stations and television stations. As a little kid, you sneak in the back doors and that type of thing. And you started to talk to people about the business. And I started to write different companies to get information on equipment and stuff like that. So at the age of 14, I went to a radio station and I told them, I said, I'd like to know if there were any jobs available. And someone would say no. A couple of them would say, well, you'll have to be a disc jockey. I said, well, I don't want to be a disc jockey. I want to build the stations from scratch. I auditioned for a few shows. Of course, I was rejected, but I went to one station and I told the program director there, I said, I want to be on the air. And he said, want to be on the air? I said, no, not really. What I want to do is I want to be an engineer. And he said, well, Black people can't be engineers. I said, oh, I can. He says, well, you're kind of young. I said, well, I'm 18 years old. He says, you're not 18 years old. I say, yes, I am. I said, well, what do I need to do? He says, well, for you to get on the air or to work at this radio station, you have to have a third-class FCC license with a broadcast endorsement. I said, where do you get it from? He says, Washington, D.C. I said, so you're telling me that if I get this license, you'll give me a job. So he says, well, wait a minute. He says, what do you know about radio? So I told him everything that you imagine about his radio station, frequency, power, where the transmitter's located, all that kind of stuff. Then he took me to the control room. He says, well, what's this? And I explained all the equipment there, showed him how to cue records and that type of thing. He says, yeah, you'll get the job. So I came back 2 weeks later. I had my third-class license. And he says, well, I guess you're going to have to give me, have to give you a job. So what would happen was we started on the weekends, on the air from midnight to 6, my father would drive me to the station, which was in a little radio station that was at 606 and a half, 9 Mile Road. The half is important because it was a little shotgun building all boarded up. And that's how I really started my radio career.
Okay, that's fascinating. So once you received your license, mm-hmm. and you had an opportunity to work at that radio station, how did you then make your way from there to Howard University?
Well, it's interesting because what happened was that once I graduated from high school, I came up to D.C. to go to engineering school. And the idea of the engineering school was that you'd get your associate degree in electrical engineering and you would get your first class FCC license, which is what you needed to be an engineer. So it was supposed to take a year to get your FCC license. I did it in 6 months. And what happened was that I was told that ABC News had summer replacement jobs at the network. And the person there told me, he says, Jim, you'll be a natural for it. So I went there, got an appointment, and they hired me on the spot. I didn't realize that all the work that I had done doing remotes and stuff like that at the local radio station was exactly what they wanted at ABC. So I became the first African-American hired as an engineer at the ABC Washington News Bureau. And so we covered the White House, Capitol Hill. We traveled with the president, did all kinds of stuff like that. So one day I had gone to the House of Representatives to set up for a remote. And there were two people that were sitting in the congressman's seats. One of them was a congressman. And they were talking about the fact that Howard University had obtained a license for a radio station. I heard this on my headsets. So when I got off from work, I came to Howard and found the general manager and said, look, you know, I understand you've got a license. I'd like to volunteer my time and help you build a station.
Okay.
And so that's how I came in. Oh. So he said, well, no, you could be the person that, you know, actually runs it. I said, well, that's fine. So he made me an offer, and I refused the offer because I was going to make less money than I was making at the network. But I said, I still volunteer my time. So I volunteered my time for about 3 months, and then finally said, Jim, you've got to come over, but it's going to be controversial. And I said, why? He says, well, you're so young. You're only 19 years old. And, you know, this is a very big project. I said, so what? I mean, I can do the project. Because when I was at ABC, I was working at two other radio stations building studios and stuff like that. So I was gaining the experience. But this was an opportunity that I felt I just had to be involved with some way.
Right. No, that's excellent. So you were chief engineer at the age of 19
here, sir,
at the radio station. Comparing the facility then, the technology then to today, what are some of your major observations when you look at?
Well, when we first went on the air, we went on the air in a classroom trailer with some old reconditioned analog consoles, little rotary pot consoles that we had reconditioned to go on the air. Now the whole technology has changed to the whole digital platform, and so that's like running radio with spears as compared to what we're doing now.
So in terms of people who are coming into the station now, filling in the positions that you once held, mm-hmm. in terms of their preparation, their ability, because obviously you did a lot as in your adolescence to prepare yourselves, are African Americans getting enough of an opportunity throughout the business to get in to radio stations or broadcasting as you would like to see?
Absolutely not. It's just not happening. I mean, from the time that I became an engineer and got into the business to management, I see fewer and fewer and fewer of African Americans being involved. That's what makes it so cool of being here at Howard, is that we can provide the opportunities of exposure to students in different areas. At one point, and it's interesting, is that when I left the radio station and went to the television station, and we had to build a television station, we actually built the television station with interns from the School of Engineering instead of hiring a number of professionals. Right. And it took a 2-year period to do it, but it exposed these kids who had all the theoretical knowledge with the practical side. And a number of them that actually built that station are in the industry now in pretty prominent positions.
Right. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Jim Watkins. He is the general manager of WHUR and the Howard University Radio Network. Now, just to change our direction a little bit, when you look at WHUR and the entire Howard University Radio Network, where have you expanded into?
Well, HUR just started out as an analog radio station. It was monaural. We took that to a stereo platform, and when the digital revolution came, we started to change our technology in the radio station to encompass that, CDs, digital recording, and the like. Then what happened was that we came up with the new digital technology that allows you to broadcast not just your signal, but your signal in CD quality, and to embed other signals in your main signal. So by us embracing that, and by the way, we were the first station in the market to embrace the digital technology, what it gave us was the capacity to have more than one radio station in a radio station, and it allowed us as a station to do the kinds of things that we normally could not do because of the commercialism and the way the commercial radio had gone, but we kind of went back to the future. When HUI first went on the air, we did a lot of community programming. We did a lot of informational programming, a lot of news programming, but that doesn't wash in the commercial world now. So with our other channels, we can do those types of things and serve our community with all these different diverse programs and take care of those issues. And couple it with the other piece of the social media and being on the other digital platforms. We have not only, if you have an HD radio, we have WHUR, we have WHUR World, which is a HD2 station. We have our campus radio station, WHBC, so the students have their own broadcast station. In the future, we're going to have a HD4 station. And then we have websites for all of those streams, and they have their own digital platform where you can listen to them streamed on the Internet. So the whole idea of the network is to provide a broadening of the entire brand of WHUR, Howard University Radio, on so that you can listen to some form of it anywhere in the world. Then we add on to that, because of the digital aspects that we worked on and the programming, we obtained two channels from Sirius XM Radio. So now we're even on the bird, on channel 141, 142. So it's running a true network.
Right. Now, given the vast changes, especially in technology, as you just identified, the use of the Internet, what type of programming content you think is still gripping the audience to bring them to radio?
Well, I think it's more of a thing of looking at all types of issues that don't get the kind of exposure that you would get on in the normal media. And that's where we can use our assets here at the university to address those things. And we have the time to do it. So it makes it a little different than just worrying about the ratings and how much money we're going to get. But we know that that's the piece that makes the engine go.
Right. Now, obviously, it's a competitive business.
Absolutely.
And there's still a need, I'm sure, for you to maintain a certain competitiveness in terms of radio personalities, etc. Again, when you look at African-American radio personalities, so on the other side of the mic from the engineers to the issue we were speaking about earlier, where do you see that going in terms of opportunities for more African-American radio personalities?
I think that one of the challenges is that commercial radio has become so formula that many of the personalities don't get a chance to show their wear. And a lot of that has to occur off the air on the other platforms, the social media platform, the appearances, doing the kind of things that you just can't do on radio anymore. I mean, if you listen to radio now, in most markets, there's only a small period of time that an announcer can talk. And that time is usually for something that's commercial, time, temperature, and we're on with it. And the what I'm finding is that there's not a lot of development of talent. And that's a real challenge.
Do you have any special programs here at WHUR and the Howard University Radio Network where you are bringing along that talent purposefully?
Oh, that kind of runs the gamut. I think the first item would be the campus radio station. I mean, this is a place where it's not just the talent, but it's the whole operation of radio as it is. We have students that are involved in every area.
As we close, where do you see WHUR and the Howard University Radio Network some 50 years from now, with technology rapidly changing, opportunities apparently not opening up as much for African Americans as it did for you at the age of 14 with your creativity to get into the industry? What's your advice for what will happen next 50 years?
I think that the first thing is that we don't limit our scope just to radio. It's all telecommunications. Radio is moving toward more video. There's more video that's being involved, there's more social media, and we're looking at a convergence of all these technologies. And it's a matter of one following their imagination, and looking at what's available, and looking at the issues, because it's all about serving people.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
The technology is great, but you know they're just tools.
Right. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been the Pearl and the Oyster here at WHUR and Howard University Radio Network, Jim Watkins. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.